Hey, Whiskey Babies, it's time for another episode. Going to do it a little bit differently this week. I'm going to have a little more of a rapid-fire style with my special guest, Shane Guilfoyle of the History of Hockey podcast, just because that's what I want to do this week. All right, I hope you enjoy, and I want to thank everybody for listening last week to the 50th episode and the World Junior Championships preview with Mike Grinnell, of, the producer of Spitting Chicklets. The show went great. Got a lot of listens. I'm happy. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. And I'd appreciate it if you take your fucking bodies to Lucid Float Spas in Mount Vernon, Ohio, and take a float. You'll feel better. I guarantee it. Enjoy. You fucking idiots.
Now Probert got the right hand. He's loose with the right hand, and he starts to retaliate. And down goes Nyland, and the two of them are hammering each other.
Knights of Columbus, that hurt.
It's old time hockey.
Enforcer of all hockey podcasts. It's the biscuit. It's the biscuit.
Damn it! The school regulation size of what?
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts.
God help the fucking day if fighting's ever banned. As a country will stop working on some badness fucking can.
Hi everybody. It's the biscuit podcast.
Hey, you wanna go?
Yeah, okay.
Good luck, man.
Let's use you, buddy. Time I try to use a goddamn computer or internet, but specifically with you, like you said, if God, maybe God, we just figured out God is real and he does not want us to talk.
I think that's it. I think we cracked the case because of the times that I've been on, I think we have had one legit phone call.
It's like a half a dozen times and it's been fucked up every time. I'm fairly certain. Well, speaking of cracking cases, I'm going to crack this case right now.
Well, I should have waited till we were on air, but I'm drinking a bottle of beer just because I knew I was coming on.
So. I knew you would be, so I had to grab a couple extra myself here. And I figured I'd pregame for the United States game tonight.
Fucking A,
buddy. Well, I did a quick intro before we started here. I am with Shane Guilfoyle, the History of Hockey podcast. You've been pumping them out lately, man. You've been a busy guy.
Yeah. It's my schedule, if you can even call it that, is kind of weird. I seem to go in waves where I'll miss several weeks of doing them just because I'm busy with life and a wife and two kids and all of the stuff that goes along with that. But I'm busy doing the research, doing the writing, doing all of that stuff. And then every now and then it's like three or four episodes come together at once. And then I'm able to crank them out. And I'm still kind of in the midst of that. I have another one coming out next week. And then after that, it'll maybe slow down a little bit, but yeah, so it's kind of weird. It seems like it's feast or famine with me.
Hey, that's fine. It gives me time to because I like to listen to more than one at a time. Because usually they're, you know, you have your series or they'll coincide with each other, so I can sit and listen to, you know, like no joke, like 4 hours of it, and then I can get caught up, and then the next time they pump some out or you pump some out, I jam those in the next time.
Yeah, and speaking of marathons, this next series I'm working on should be a three-part series, and it'll probably top the length of the Stanley Cup series. So,
fuck yeah, well, I'm excited.
So,
man.
So we'll see how that goes. And for anybody who hasn't heard them, the longest episode is of the Stanley Cup series is 4 hours, and then. I think the shortest one's like an hour and a half, so they're...
It's a quick 4 hours, though. It's like Joe Rogan style, though, because you're so fluid and good at it that it doesn't seem like 4 hours of fucking, you know, just this guy fucking talking.
4 hours of nonsense, yeah.
Right. Did you guys have a good holiday?
Well, you know, not bad, but both my twins are sick. Lily was... I had to take her to the doctor on, like, I think it was Saturday. And no joke, I'm not even close to kidding, less than 5 minutes before you called tonight, Jake was laying in bed and threw up.
Oh my God, dude.
Like, they cannot get healthy to save their lives. So I got him cleaned up. He's in my bed now watching cartoons, and I'm doing my best to neglect him. So
good,
you fucking
the biscuit babies. Hey, all
parents out there can tell me I'm a piece of shit.
Everybody that listens to this show was neglected by their fathers, so
good.
They'll feel right at home. But yeah, like I had mentioned in the opener here, we're gonna do a. Like we had before, kind of a rapid style, you know, try to get this one in so then I can get you on your way with the kids and I can go get drunk and watch the United States game. But since it is the season, I did want to ask you, what is your favorite Christmas movie, Shane Guilfoyle?
It's gotta be, you know, when you first said that we might talk about this, I had one answer and then it just kind of hit me today how wrong I really was. I was going to say Home Alone,
okay,
and that I think is maybe just a nostalgic pick from childhood.
Yeah,
but quite honestly, it has to be Bad Santa.
That's a good one, dude.
Yeah, because it's just such a dude. It's just so hilarious to me. Everything about it is great.
It's incredibly fucked up. I love that movie. That's a good one. Yeah. You don't hear that one too. You don't hear it very often on the list of the good ones. So that's a good one, man.
Yeah.
Well, let's
what
just
about
get
you?
Mine. Is probably a shocker, a little bit surprised, but it's Four Christmas, Four Christmases with Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon. You know what? Fuck you. It's my favorite.
I don't think I've ever seen or even heard of that.
Do it. It's fucking hilarious, dude.
All right. Cool.
It's super fucking funny. Do it next year. Don't do it now.
Yeah. Now it would just be weird. I'd be a creep.
If you did it right now, I'd have to call the cops.
Yeah, I call the cops
on myself. Well, I know you've been on the I know you've been on the internet, so have I, and I know we've talked about it a little bit, but there was this you know, and you're an Avalanche fan, so I'm sure you knew about this even before I did, but it seems to be all the rave on fucking Twitter. Zach Rinaldo put a hit on Nathan MacKinnon, a center ice, a clean but hard hit. MacKinnon, you know, didn't get knocked off his skates, but took a good fucking hit. Rinaldo skates past him, and then was it Girardi or somebody comes up behind him, and, you know, he feels the cross check on his back, turns around, drops his gloves and punches him, knocks him down. And then, you know, Eric Johnson takes care of business on Rinaldo, and MacKinnon gets in a fight, you know, with another boy there. But people are so goddamn upset about his punch on that guy. Yeah, it wasn't ideal. And I wasn't watching the game live. And, you know, most of the time when people get this information, it's from that 30-second gift. And I had seen Paul Bissonnette, color commentator for the Arizona Coyotes, former enforcer, say, you know, they had been fucking running Rinaldo all game, so he was already on edge. And I think I had read somewhere that he was already playing with a broken nose from shit earlier in the game. And yeah, he reacted in a split second and dropped him and hit a guy that, you know, was a quote unquote defenseless. But, you know, what if he hadn't? And, you know, what if that guy hit him? You know, it was kind of like a damned if you do, damned if you don't moment. What was your take on all this? And, you know, obviously it always goes on Twitter, Rinaldo's a scumbag, piece of shit, can't play hockey, kill his family, get him out of the league.
Right, eat his children.
Exactly.
You know, I grew up with fighting, so I don't mind seeing it, and even as an Avalanche fan, it didn't bother me. I had the reaction of, like, when he, you know, turned around and punched him, like, oh, shit!
Yeah!
But it wasn't like, oh, you motherfucker, piece of shit. Like,
Right. It was more like, oh, like, it was fuck.
Just like a,
he just dropped him.
Like anybody would react to somebody getting punched in the face.
Right. Well, and then people were giving Tyson Nass shit because he's the commentator for TV. And he kind of goes, oh, fuck, he got him. Like, that. Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Like, I think... I don't know, man. People love to... minds and pass judgment and burn the world down based on, like you said, a freaking gif.
Right.
Just 3 seconds of just the punch, nothing that came before or after it.
Well, no, the first time
and they're ready to crucify the guy.
The first time I saw the punch, I didn't even realize that he got his ass kicked immediately after that. And then I watched the whole playback, and I was like, what is everybody bitching about? He got what was coming to him immediately afterwards. Johnson fucking...
And that's what nobody wants to talk about, is they want to isolate that one little moment that fits their narrative.
Yeah.
And just talk about it ad nauseum. And like you said, run this guy out of the league and kill his family because he doesn't belong there.
Well, that's the. Were you watching the game by chance, or just catching it like I am through bits and pieces now?
Just bits and pieces. I caught the highlights.
Okay, so I mean I don't know. I'm guessing Paul Bissonnette pays pretty close attention since he's calling the games, but he has said that like shit was at high tensions for Ronaldo all game from Girardi and from fucking McKinnon. So. You know, maybe he was already on edge waiting, and there's that, not paranoia, but just the anticipation of shit going down is enough to, you know, his head was on a fucking swivel. And then, you know, Girardi does come up on him with his fucking stick to cross-check him on the back. You know he didn't finish it because he got dropped, but it was still, something was happening. I mean, it was really bang-bang, and if you watch it in game speed, I mean, it's like hit on McKinnon. 2 strides, drops him with the punch, then Johnson just beats the fuck out of him. And that...
Yeah, and don't you think a guy like Paul Bissonnette would know what someone on edge would look like?
100%! He even said, he's like, listen, I played against Ronaldo, and like, I didn't like him. But this is not a dirty ass, you know, this isn't Gudis trying to cut someone's head off with a fucking stick.
Right, exactly!
So
it's just like, I mean, like you said, it's like he did what he did. Johnson beat the fuck out of him, and that should be the end of it.
Really should be. It really should be.
Punch you, you punch me.
Yeah.
That's it. That's game, set, match.
That's why that guy used to exist. But there's that whole narrative too now where like, if you hit somebody, a clean legal hit, You got to get ready because it's, you know, but
it's like if you touch anybody anymore, man, it's like you got to be ready to throw them if you touch anybody.
Right. But then we looked up the stats for that, too. And I mean, there's a lot of hits and not a lot of fights. But with something like that, he had to be ready. I mean, he's been in that situation before. And like I said, I think he was playing with a fucking broken nose from some shit earlier in the game. And everybody telling Bissonnette, you know, what do you fucking know? You're a loser. You're 32 and calling games. Nobody knows better than him that's calling games right now.
Nobody. Yeah, because that was his job.
Literally.
Like, he beat the shit out of people and took punches for a living. Like, why wouldn't he know what he's talking about?
And played in the league for a while.
Yeah.
And was...
Yeah, I don't understand people who have one, they've never played any kind of hockey. They've never put on a pair of skates, and they're acting like they know shit. I mean, it's just people are bizarre, man. I am understanding humans less and less these days.
The one dude was like a bagger at Walmart and was talking shit to him. Like, okay, you're just, you know, upset and trying to get your kicks off on Twitter, I guess, but you don't have an argument. And Ronaldo has an in-hearing, in-person hearing coming up. I don't know what they'll do with him. I don't know what the automatic handout for punching a person with their gloves on is, but I'm sure he'll get it.
Yeah, I mean, from what I know, and I'm hardly an expert on people getting suspended, but from what I understand, that if it's an in-person hearing, that you can pretty much expect 5 games.
Well, you know, that seems a little steep, but it's better
than... And that's 5 games that Ronaldo won't be paid for.
Right. Well, nobody wants him to ever get paid again.
Right. Yeah, you know, like if they had their way, he'd be bagging at Walmart.
Oh yeah, well, just like Luke Wachowski, you know, gets the automatic 10 for coming back on the ice, but that was some bullshit. But those are the two.
That was insane.
Yeah,
I know that there is a black and white rule in the rule book. I get it, but there's got to be shades of gray.
There's got to be,
and I mean,
and that was it. Like, that was
it's just... like, I mean, he turned around, went back and said something.
Right.
It's not like he went back on the ice to fight 3 more people.
Right. Yeah.
That fucking blew my mind.
Yeah, that was that one was a little fishy there. But that's the when you think about, we're almost at a halfway point through a season. Two of the most talked about moments are the Calgary-Detroit game, and then now you know, Ronaldo. So as much as people don't like it, you sure love talking about it.
Yeah, don't they? Yeah. You know, if you hate it so much, maybe ignore it and it'll go away.
That's exactly what would happen. If everybody that says they hate it so much would just stop talking about it, it would just poof, be gone.
And I think what I'd like is everybody who's complaining about it to just stop watching hockey.
Oh, I'd love it. I would love it. It would be awesome. And what's weird too is, you know, Columbus and Pittsburgh last week. You know, Malkin throws a punch on Foligno as they're sitting there, you know, chirping. But you don't hear for him to be called out and kicked out of the league, you know. And he got his ass kicked after that, too. But I'm saying it's the same kind of deal. He didn't drop him first. At least Ronaldo,
right, yeah.
At least Ronaldo dropped him and gave him a fucking split second to be like, well, here it comes.
Yeah, it's... I don't know if it completely falls under the definition of a double standard, but it's damn close.
It really is. It really is.
You know, it comes down to the name on the back of your sweater.
It does. It does. Yeah,
I think that's fucked up.
It is.
But at the same time, Malkin did what he did, and then he paid for it, and then that's the result we should get. That should be the end of it.
I agree. That's what it's for. Speaking of the, you know, Malkin getting his ass kicked and Ronaldo getting his ass kicked, the Blue Jackets have not been faring so well in the old fight department this year. I know you saw, what was it, the end of the Edmonton game, Cassian and Dubinsky square off, and Cassian gives him a left hand and breaks his fucking eye socket.
God damn it, yes.
Oh. And... there wasn't much time left in the game. What was there? 2 minutes left, and it was like 7-2.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
like,
the
sparks weren't being lit, you know. So it was a frustration thing, but holy fuck, dude.
Yeah.
You knew the second he got hit, and he just fell down and started covering his face. It's like, oh, he broke his orbital bone for sure.
Yeah. Oh man.
So
I feel like the best fight for the Blue Jackets this year, and unless I'm forgetting something, was Anderson Chara.
Like, it's the only one that a Blue Jackets looked okay in.
Yeah.
Poor fucking...
Yeah, everybody else has been getting rocked.
Poor fucking Sedlak has to stick up for Hannakainen after Reeves fucking lays his ass out.
And then he gets freaking trashed.
Oh, three punches. I mean, good for Sedlak to stand up for him, like, for Hannakainen, but holy shit, that was Ryan Reeves.
Yeah,
that was a monster. I bet he doesn't do that ever again.
Yeah, probably not.
Oh, it was fucking brutal.
I want a guy like that back. And
oh,
I know,
my god,
to Jared Bull, and if it was him, then great. But man, I feel like I want anybody at this point to just go out there and throw some knuckles.
And with Wenberg and Cam being out for, you know, the next month and a half, now would be a perfect time to sign old Mr. Bull.
Yeah, my God, man, he is the injuries.
Yeah, he is injury prone, and I just want him back because I love him. But there's always been
Blue Jacket.
Columbus has always had at least, you know, a half of an enforcer on the team. I mean,
they've kind of been tough to play against, but yeah, I mean, really, since we got rid of him, it's really gone downhill.
And it worries me. It worries me with this team, and it worried me at the beginning of the season. Because if it comes down to a physical game, and say we're playing Pittsburgh again in the playoffs, we don't stand a chance. Columbus does not stand a chance.
Right, because he's out there. You know, Reeves is out there to protect Crosby. So when one of our guys goes after Crosby and gets his ass beat, then we're down another guy. Like, we don't have anybody to stand up to. There are guys who will do it, but they're not going to do it well.
Yeah, look at Sedlak. You're going to have that again.
He looked like a toddler.
Oh, it was so
his ass beat.
It was so bad. I was embarrassed. I was absolutely embarrassed for him. But he had to. So at least, I mean, someone had to do it. Hanekayan took a fucking. I don't think it was illegal. It was close, but he got fucking laid out. And then, you know, Sedz did what he had to do.
Yeah.
Did you see Torts being Torts again with his 13-second interview the other night?
You know, I actually, I had turned the TV off at that point, but when you sent me that note of what we were going to be talking about, I knew it had to be good. So lay it on me.
He comes in. I don't know if it was after the Edmonton loss or the other ass whooping they took the other day, but he comes in and he just goes, "Listen, you know, there's no point in me talking to you guys. I'm not going to be taking questions tonight, and that's just going to be it." He's like, "I'm sorry. I know you guys got a job to do, but I'm not doing it." It's 13 second interview, and he was out.
That's beautiful,
dude. It was awesome. It was fucking.
He might be the most character we have ever had in that position.
Oh, definitely.
I loved Hitchcock and all of that, but man, he might take the crown.
Oh, dude, he's the fucking man. And if he would have spoke, who knows what he would have said? So,
and I think he knows himself well enough to know that at this point in his career, there are nights when he just needs to shut the fuck up.
Oh, for sure. I mean, he doesn't want to get fined anymore.
Yeah.
So why not just go in and do that? And, I mean, he can't be doing that every night or a couple times a year because, you know, the upper management, Yarmo, and those guys are going to be like, "Listen, all these fucking papers, you know, we're going to need, you got to talk to him." So, you know, once here and there, it's all fine and dandy. I thought it was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
The American Hockey Hall of Fame had their inductions. They are trying to have the weirdest induction ceremonies of all time, because I learned this year that the hall is in Minnesota, you know, of course.
Right.
But every year they do the induction ceremony in a different place on like a Tuesday at like 5 o'clock.
So everyone can see, of course.
Absolutely. So they do it in Boston with Steve Levy from ESPN. I'll give you the names of these guys and see if they strike any kind of, you know, anything in you. Maybe I'm just dumb, but so the inductees this year are Kevin Collins, Jack Parker, Ben Smith, Ron Wilson, and then, Scott Young. But, yeah, those are the American Hockey Hall of Fame inductees for 2017.
Yep, and I know Young from his Avalanche days, but I feel like the American Hockey Hall of Fame always has been, probably always will be, the little bastard stepbrother to the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto.
Yeah.
And Now, I am saying that having never been to the American Hockey Hall of Fame, but I just, I feel like,
I mean,
there's just, for me, there's no way that it could match up to the one in Toronto, because I've been to the one in Toronto, and it's stunning. I mean, it's so stunning, at least to me, that I've been back multiple times.
Nice.
And I just, I don't know, man. It's one of those things that it just can't live up to what is older and better.
Dude, I'll be honest. I didn't even realize there was one. I didn't even realize there was one. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's not.
I'm going to go, though. I'm going to fucking go.
I don't know why it's not in the mainstream as much, but it's
because
just,
they're inducting guys like Kevin Collins and Jack Parker in Boston on a Tuesday at 5 o'clock when the fucking hall's in Minnesota. You got to have some kind of production. You got to fucking Americanize it a little bit. You got to fucking get goddamn Cardi B to fucking play the open ceremony or some shit. And that's what you do. And then, you know, it'll change once these guys that are playing now, because in my opinion, the Americans that are playing now are some of the best that have ever been in the league.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so,
I agree.
You know, when these guys, when we're unfortunately that age to go, I remember Austin Matthews, the hall will mean a little bit more to Americans, I think, then.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think perhaps part of the problem, too, is that the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto truly is all of hockey.
Right.
It doesn't matter what country you're from, what league you played in.
Right.
It is the Hall of Fame for the sport of hockey. And the one in Minnesota is for Americans.
Yep.
And newsflash, we're not that good. Like, we've been doing it for a long time, yes, but it's not at the forefront of most Americans' minds the way that it is in other parts of the world.
Right.
So it's just, I just don't think it's going to gain the traction that, like, you know, the Football Hall of Fame in Canton is going to.
Yeah. Well, see, then why not, you know, like the Football Hall of Fame, have a fucking a college hockey game outdoors in fucking Minnesota for the ceremony. You know, why not
have... Yeah, how fucking hard would that be?
You know, yeah, have something like that. You know, you have two American fucking college teams play each other, and you have the inductees there. You gotta make something out of it, not just a fucking weird, like, dinner at... who knows where it's gonna be next year? Buffalo? Probably. They probably rotate it from Buffalo to Boston to fucking Minnesota every 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, it might even be one of those things that, you know, kind of like the NHL All-Star Game, like, ah, man, please don't call me. I'm busy that weekend.
Right. I got a hot take for you, Shane.
Yeah.
I think that Mr. Blashill is going to get fired in Detroit. Well, that's not that hot of a take, but I think that you're going to see Mr. Gerard Gallant be the next Detroit Red Wings head coach before too long.
I think Blashill will definitely get canned. But what makes you, where does Gerard Gallant come in unless, I don't know, the bottom falls out of Vegas or something?
Well, I don't think he's going to give a fuck about being in Vegas. Maybe he has, you know, some morals or some fucking bullshit. But the man, well, he didn't play long in Detroit, but he was in Detroit, played there. I'm sure he would like to see Detroit come back to promise, and I'm sure he would like to be the man that could do it. Yes, Las Vegas is doing very well this year. But they were also given the best chance of any expansion team in any sport ever. They haven't made the playoffs yet. And
right.
I don't know. I have a hard time believing that they're going to be a powerhouse in hockey for the next 10 years. there is a guarantee, despite what people think about the empty seats at Little Caesars Arena, people are going to the games. Hockey's a big deal in Michigan. Has been, you know, since 1925 or what the fuck ever. I think if somehow something happens with him in Vegas, I don't know what his contract's like there, but if you get an offer from Detroit while you're in Las Vegas, I think you got to take the job. I had a dream. I mean,
it's probably not all that crazy.
I just had a dream. That's it. I just fucking had a dream about it. That's why I'm saying it.
Oh, wow. No shit. Okay.
So it's, you
I've had plenty of crazy dreams that have come true, so.
Yeah, I don't know. When it happens, we'll remember episode 51 when I called it.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
What wasn't beautiful, Ottawa had an outdoor game, I guess. Did you know about this?
Barely.
I was in Michigan visiting my wife's family. I got home and I saw pictures of Erik Karlsson with a fucking like full face mask on. I was like, what's going on here? I was like, oh, holy shit. There was a Heritage Classic game. And I literally, when I go up north, I don't take like my cell phone or anything like that. So I was unplugged, as the kids say. And I completely slipped my mind. And I'm a self-proclaimed huge fan of the outdoor games. But that marketing for this one was so bad that I hadn't even realized that it was going to happen, you know, the week before I left. Which I don't know why. Maybe it was because the NHL hates the Canadian teams. But, I mean, you see all this crazy shit about the road to the Winter Classic now.
You know, I was just going to jump in and say that I feel like outside of the Winter Classic, if you're a fringe fan, you might not even know that there are other types of outdoor games. The Stadium Series, the Heritage Classic, the Centennial Games last year and this year.
Yeah. You probably wouldn't, man. You probably wouldn't. But it seems like they want those to be such like a big deal and such a fucking moneymaker that you got to push it a little bit. And, you know, they tried to change the sweaters up all this crazy, but the Canadians and the Senators' sweaters were virtually the same as it's always been. So I got to give two thumbs down to the NHL for how they handled it. I thought it was a bummer.
Yeah, I agree. It was underwhelming. I watched a little bit of it.
I'm glad it was cold as fuck, but.
Yeah, it was supposed to be really, really frigid. But, yeah, I feel like they didn't push it like they should have. And, like, and for a 100th anniversary game.
Right.
It's not like it's a stadium series between the Devils and the Hurricanes or some shit.
And it was a fucking night game in Ottawa. It, like, what's the
fuck? The capital of the country.
Yeah.
Versus, so it's the Capitals team against the oldest team in fucking history.
The Golden Boys.
Like, and you don't market that more than you did?
The Golden Boys. The Habs.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Fucking dumb.
And, I mean, maybe it's because Ottawa's not having the best of season, but, you know, you have a whole market in Sweden, too, with Erik Karlsson's beautiful face being on Ottawa.
Yeah.
And I know they're trying to spread the game as much as they fucking possibly can. I don't know. It seemed fucking odd. I don't know. Fuck the Senators, though.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I am in no way surprised, and this isn't to jerk my own dick too much, but I'm in no way surprised that they're not very good.
Me either, my
man. Because Guy Boucher, this is the exact same thing that happened to him in Tampa. I really think, and I really believe, that he's a one-trick pony. He gets to Tampa, he lights the league on fire, comes within one game of the Stanley Cup Final. The next year, the Lightning are dog shit.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing the exact same thing with Ottawa.
I think he needs to go coach like the Spokane Chiefs or something. I don't think he can make it happen in the NHL unless you want, like you said, that 1 year and hopefully you'll get. I mean, yeah, Tampa Bay's 1 year and Ottawa's 1 year was great, but is that what you're trying to do?
Yeah, you know, I mean, if a flare-up is all you're going for, then, you know, contract herpes or something.
Right,
because
right.
I want longevity.
Speaking of herpes, Chris Neal retired. I don't know.
another piece of shit who can't play hockey, never should have been in the league.
Oh yeah, so bad he played for 15 years, Shane.
Yeah. I don't get that comment, by the way, of these enforcers who can't play hockey. And
dude,
like, do the people who say these things not realize that they're talking about people playing in the NHL?
Like the 99th percentile. Like nobody
easily.
Nobody makes it to the NHL.
Easily. I mean, they're like,
how many people do you know that play hockey? A shit ton. How many?
A shit ton.
How many do
you know? How many NHLers I know? Zero.
How many of them played for 15 years in the NHL with one organization?
Yeah, and I've been playing since I was 5, and I suck.
Right.
I suck at hockey. Do you want to know why I have a history podcast about hockey? It's because I suck at hockey.
Oh, God, dude. 2,522 career penalty minutes.
God bless him. God bless that man.
2,522 career penalty minutes.
I want to know how many days in the box that is.
Dude, he's so bad that he had 204 of them in the playoffs. 19 points in his playoff career, too. You got to be out of your fucking mind if you think he was bad at hockey. I remember, what series was it last year when him and Berwitzky were on the ice together, and against the Rangers, and the Rangers were like terrified. They were literally like shaking in their fucking boots. Yeah, Chris Neal ended up having it.
And guess what? They ended up losing the series because they were shaking in their boots.
Right. Chris Neal had a dumb penalty and whatever. They score a power play goal. I don't give a fuck. Guess who went on the next round?
The boys. Yeah, guess who came within a game of the freaking Stanley Cup?
In his career as a professional hockey player, 348 fights, Shane.
Oh, my God.
348 fights, dude.
Oh, jeez.
112 goals over his NHL career.
No shit!
112, bud.
Wow.
250 career points. Like, that's nothing... As far as, like, a tough...
can hang your hat on that, man. That's damn fine.
If there's a hall for enforcers in Toronto, he's going in there.
You know... I'm actually. I did not even plan on bringing this up. I'm so glad you said the Hall of the Enforcers. I don't know if he listens to the Biscuit, but is it History of Hockey Fights on Twitter?
Yeah,
that dude and maybe Fourth Line Voice too. They've got to start, even if it's online, virtual as can be.
It's a great idea.
They've got to start a Hall of Fame for enforcers, because I would click through that shit for sure.
Absolutely. So Fourth Line Voice, put a mortgage on your house, sell it, and get the fucking hall in there, dude. Who's
absolutely.
Who's not trying to go to Saskatoon to go to the fucking Hall of Enforcers?
I'd go.
I'd fucking go too. You can get the big, like, oversized boxing gloves at the end too, and get in there and fucking fight.
There you go. Oh, and you could do a digital, like, a video game where you pick the enforcer you want to fight, and then and then you get your boxing gloves and you're boxing against the digital screen.
Or like back in the day, like the 70s, you know, you have to drink as many beers as some of the Broad Street guys did and try to get out there and fight, like. It'd be the best place on earth.
Yes.
It'd be the best place on earth.
Yep. I'd probably move into the basement.
Hey, you know when someone's coming down and they have a breakaway and they're getting ready to shoot the puck, why do they never just go like top shelf?
That's a good question.
I haven't played hockey at like a huge level, but I think I would try to. It seems to be open, like in the NHL right now. It seems to be like a place where you could put the biscuit.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. And one thing that I've always heard about goalies is for them to always keep their glove high, because it's easier to let the glove fall than to lift it. But that says nothing for the blocker side. So I don't know. Maybe it...
It was just something I was thinking about. I heard Mickey Redman going off about it the other day, and I really started paying attention to it. Try to keep your eye on it as you watch hockey games here in the next, you know, couple weeks. You'll really see a lot of opportunities to score high. I mean, maybe it's crazy fucking hard, you know, at the last second like that, and you're just trying to get pucks on net, I guess. But it seems like there's a lot of opportunity to have goals scored there.
Yeah, I mean, I know the times that I have been in that situation in just peewee and beer league and shit like that, I tend to shoot more center mass, but that's because I'm not in the NHL, I panic, and I suck at hockey. So those are my reasons. I can't speak for anybody else, but yeah, I don't know. I'll have to keep my eye on that.
Do it, please. I got a few things here I want to ramble off, and then we're going to get the fuck out of here, Shane.
Outstanding.
I just wanted to mention, hashtag biscuit approved, the UFC had two former hockey players fight a couple weeks ago. Luke Sanders, who lost his fight, and then Mr. Holtzman, who won his. Luke Sanders was a two-time state champion in Minnesota, I think. And Holtzman played in, I think, like the Southern Hockey League or some shit like that. So it's always cool to see those guys out there. You know, they couldn't, you know, not everybody can play in the NHL. So you find another avenue and you keep, you know, at least you're a professional something.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome. I didn't hear about that, but that's really cool.
It was pretty sweet. So as to my knowledge, there's those two guys and then obviously Bossy, who's a fucking monster who fights in the UFC too. And he's fucking scary. But he was playing with the La Chiefs, you know, in the LNA.
Right.
But yeah, he's a fucking monster.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to fight any of those fucking guys.
Matthews made his comeback. Henrik Lundqvist did not like it. Did you see him have his brat little fit when Matthews scored on him?
No, I didn't, but I'm going to have to look it up now.
Look it up. It'll make you happy as an American. Matthews scores on him, and Hank turns around and fucking gives the old pipe a 1-2 with the fucking stick.
Nice.
And Matthews has his fucking deadpan face on, too, as he does it, so it's even better. This is a first for the Biscuit Podcast. I've got three fuckboys of the week.
Holy shitballs.
I've got three, special just for you. PK Subban for his fucking bullshit center high school. If I have to see him do that one more time, I'm going to fucking puke. It's like the third
that's
time.
That's not the first time that he's done it either, is it?
Dude, I've seen him do it like three fucking times. He's done it against Columbus.
Holy shit, he did! You're right!
It might have been from the red line against Columbus, but still, he's fucking done it, dude.
I think you're right. I think he did it in Nationwide Arena, too.
I know he did, dude. I remember it, because it makes me
son
sick.
Son of a bitch.
And no one kicked his ass afterwards. That's going to make me mad. That's my first one. This one predates this one, but Boone Jenner coming off the ice, and Bratting his stick down on the fucking bench, and I think it was Tyler Mott had his hand there, and just fucking slashed the shit out of his hand, dude. It was so bad. It's so Blue Jackets, like so fucking Bush League. And I'm just like, guys, what the fuck? Now we're beating the shit out of each other?
Right, yeah. It's not bad enough that that our scorers can't score. Our players are getting hurt by the other team, and now we're hurting each other.
Oh, and everybody, Blue Jackets Nation, that's super worried about Wennberg and Cam Atkinson being hurt, I think we won't miss their 10 goals that much. I think it's going to be okay.
I was actually thinking of something similar today when I found out how long they were going to be out. Like, my initial thought and feeling was, you know, that gut reaction, you know, kind of panic, like, oh my gosh. You know, but that was last year. They were so good last year. But this year, have they done anything to make us like, ooh?
No, all Cam's done is sign a new fucking contract.
Yeah, he had freaking one good game, And I think the day he signed it, he had like 2 goals.
Yeah.
And he's...
And Wennberg's been all but invisible. He's playing on like the third line or some shit.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if there's a trade coming to help fill in what
you would think,
we think might be lost from those guys, or if they're just going to let the guys lower down in the depth chart step up and make them prove themselves.
I think they could, and I think they'd be all right. I think you kind of Pittsburgh Penguins it and fucking next man up.
Yeah.
I think everything's going to be okay. I think the team is still figuring it out, and they're still right there in the mix. It's better than having your 20-game win streak now and then playing like this come playoff time. So, I think it's going to be okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, where was this team this time last year?
Killing
it. Setting the world on fire
killing
and kicking the shit out of everybody.
Yeah.
And then come playoff time, they shit the bed. So, you know, if it ends up being the opposite this year, then I guarantee you we won't be talking about this shit in April.
Exactly, my man. Are you buying or selling on the Oilers starting to turn it on?
Oh, man. I don't know.
Think of this. They've got a lot of Pacific games coming up. A lot. So if they can start winning some division games, you might see... I mean, it'd be a monumental turnaround. But if anyone can do it, that 97 guy's pretty good.
Yeah, he's all right, from what I know about him. You know, I guess if they're going to do it, now would be the time because it's those division games.
Yes.
And I would say if they don't, then they're toast.
Yeah. Cam Talbot reminds me way too much of Steve Mason, and that's not good.
Yeah. Doesn't he ever? And speaking of Steve Mason, is he getting any ice time in Winnipeg? Because I feel like I have not heard his name mentioned at all.
No, Connor Hellebuck's the fucking man, dude.
Yeah, dude. Like, since Hellebuck stepped up, I don't even know if Mason's allowed in the arena anymore.
I would not fucking know. Hell no. Shit no. You just keep him as far away from the team as possible in emergency cases only.
Yeah.
Not even back-to-backs.
Yeah. I mean, they won't even wave him to go down to the Moose because they play in the same arena. They don't want the bad juju.
Oh, the World Juniors started today, Shane. Russia and Czech played the first game at noon. The score was close. The game was not. I watched it. The Czech beat the shit out of them. There's a dude on the Czech team. I think he's a Ranger. His name is slipping me right now. He's fucking legit. Chitin, maybe? Some shit like that. Dude is a fucking baller. Get ready for New York to be... you know, subpar to medium good forever because of him.
I can deal with subpar Rangers.
It just seems like they always are just, you know, just good enough to be in the wild card and never anything more. Second game was Canada and Finland. Canada looked good. You know, they don't have the big name guys they're playing this year except for Carter Hart, but, I think they ended up winning 5-3 or something like that. Cal Foot, your boy's son, who wears a size 16 skate, I heard today.
Son of a bitch.
That's scary as fuck, dude.
I wear a size 9 just for comparison.
I wear 13, and that's big. 16 is huge. That's way too big. That's like a size that's a size 14 shoe, or a 17, I mean.
That's too big of a foot.
I don't even think he's that tall of a human being. Like, I don't think he's pushing over 6'3".
God damn.
But he ended up saving a fucking goal with his hand, and it was... it's what this tournament's all about, dude. It was awesome. Sweden beat Belarus, surprise, surprise, 6-1 or something. And then the United States are probably playing right now, so we got to get the fuck out of here, Shane.
Outstanding. Okay. Well,
hey, I got
let's chat during the game, and I can't wait to hear the episode.
Absolutely. Oh, the last fuckboy of the week is Jamie Benn's goatee. It's got to go.
It is kind of weird, isn't it? I feel like...
he's a good-looking guy.
He's not a bad-looking dude.
Get rid of it.
Either go full beard or...
Yes.
Or nothing at all.
Yeah, full beard or nothing. Tell the Biscuit Babies where to find you, Shane.
Yeah. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all at the HOH pod. If you want to donate to the show, as so many of you have been doing, I'm so thankful for that. www.patreon.com/thehohpod. iTunes, Stitcher, fucking all that shit that I can't ever remember. Is that it? historyofhockeypodcast.com?
Yeah, that's it.
And keep listening for new episodes because they're still coming. So
follow the Biscuit on all those same things except the name Biscuit. And that's the ending you're getting from me and for Shane. Shane, thanks so much, buddy. I appreciate it.
Anytime, brother.
All right, you have a good night.
Love you, bud.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Freedom. Hockey. The Biscuit.
How many fucks do I give? How many fucks?